In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. We do this broadcast live from WROL. I want you to know Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia. A triumphant holy day. Alleluia. Who did once upon the cross, alleluia, suffered to redeem our loss, alleluia. We were lost, and we needed God, as well as man, to bring us from being lost to being found. As I've often have told you, the best thing about being lost is being found by the Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Oh yes, he had to be God because the offense against God was infinite. And he had to be man because it was made by man. So Jesus himself is God and man. Hallelujah. And he has been raised from the dead. This is the proclamation of Easter. Jesus has been raised from the dead. We're looking at the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles on the day of Pentecost, verse 22. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders and signs that God did through him among you. Oh yes, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he multiplied bread and fish. Oh yes, he was the anointed and is the anointed of the Lord. As you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. As I said, even before Adam and Eve, the second person in the Blessed Trinity knew that he was going to go to the cross. Foreknowledge, and you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held by death's power. God raised Jesus up. The Holy Spirit went into that tomb and made a glorified body. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and dwells in me. Oh yes, from a crucified body to a glorious body, and the wounds are still there. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. That tells us in the Psalms that he wasn't going to let the Holy One experience corruption. He died and rose on the third day. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, remember this is Pentecost. They're celebrating the law. I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried. He's pointing to the grave of David from the cenacle. He's pointed to the grave of David. He died and was buried, and his tomb is still with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, "He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption." This Jesus God raised up, and of this all of us are witnesses. We are witnesses of the resurrection. Oh yes, at one time we were scared. We thought he was a ghost, and he said, "Cook me some fish, I'll eat." They knew he wasn't a ghost. He was the risen Lord. He showed them his hands. He showed them his feet. He showed them his side. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, he is at the right hand of the Father, the Savior of the world. And the Father sees the wounded hands of Jesus, and they were wounded for love of us. Oh yes, he continually presents himself as the glorified, wounded Lord. He has poured out this, the Holy Spirit, that you both see and hear. They saw the disciples, and they heard them speaking in other languages. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Therefore, and when there's a therefore, you have to see what it's there for. Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made Jesus both Lord and Messiah. Be certain of this, that he's been raised from the dead. Be certain of this, that he still has those wounds. Be certain of this, that he is the Lord who sits at the Father's right hand, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. The Holy Spirit was working, and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent, be baptized, and you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this now. Verse 39. "For the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you, for your children, and for those who are far away, us, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." The promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of Pentecost, is to the Jews that are listening, to their children, and to those far off, us. And I tell you, when the Spirit of God comes, something happens in our lives. It's not just nothing. It's power. It's power to show us that we have the ability to minister in power. Oh yes, yes, we can say to the sick, "In the name of Jesus, be healed now by the power of the blood and by the power of the resurrection. In the name of Jesus, be delivered now by the power of the blood and the power of the resurrection." I tell you, we don't use this power. We don't use this power. I think of Don Bosco. He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Why don't his followers do the same thing as he did? You see, Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead. We are called to do the same thing because he is the one who shows us what we must do. Luke 24, verse 1. "But on the first day of the week," that's Sunday, "at early dawn," that's the third day, "they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared." What are they doing? They're going to anoint the body of Jesus. They couldn't do that because it was Passover and the Sabbath. "They found the stone rolled away from the tomb." But when they went in, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. They were angels. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not alive. He's not dead. He's alive. God's not dead. He's alive. God's not dead. He's alive. God's not dead. He's alive. I feel it in my hands. I feel it in my feet. I feel it all over me." Oh, yes. Jesus, who is true God and true man, is not dead, but he's alive. He's been raised by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Oh, yes. Our faith depends upon the resurrected Christ. Our faith depends upon the risen Savior. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. Oh, yes. And it's the third day. It's Sunday. Friday, part of Friday, if that's one day. Saturday, all day. And Sunday, part of Sunday. It's 3 days. In the Jewish way of counting, even if it's a little part of the day, it's the whole day they count it as. Then they remembered his words and said, returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Why? Because women were not allowed to witness in the courts. Women were seen as property, but not to Jesus. The first woman who beheld him was Mary Magdalene in John's Gospel. He appeared to her first. He showed himself to her first because she loved much. Some people say Mary Magdalene was Jesus' wife. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Jesus was celibate. Jesus was celibate. He had no wife. But he was raised from the dead. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb after they heard the women. And stooping, got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. He doesn't realize completely what has happened. He's amazed. The body of Jesus isn't there. What's happened to the body of Jesus? Women said that he's been raised from the dead. Women said that two angels told them this. But he was amazed at what had happened. Verse 13 of Luke 24. Now on that same day, the first day of the week, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were leaving the community, going back home to hear their wives say, "I told you not to follow that man." Oh, yes, they were leaving the community. Why? Because they believed that Jesus is dead. Oh, yes, they were leaving the Jerusalem community and on their way to a place called Emmaus and talking with each other about all these things. About what? About the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. About the women who said they had beheld him. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. They don't recognize him. He's the risen Lord. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I want to know what you're talking about. Don't you know? They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place during these days?" The crucifixion of Jesus. He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word before God and before the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped," oh yes, that word that's like they're depressed, "we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have taken place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning," the Sabbath, Sunday, "and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He has been raised. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, empty. I told you that the proof of the resurrection is the empty tomb and the changed life." Oh yes, the changed life that Jesus changes people today by the power of his resurrection, by the power of the Holy Spirit. "But they did not see Jesus. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared.'" In other words, you don't know the scriptures. And you don't believe the scriptures? "Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Isaiah 53. "Like a lamb led to the slaughterhouse, like a sheep before his shearers, he opened not his mouth." "Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." Oh yes, he used the scriptures to interpret to them the things that had happened. "As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them." I once asked some third graders, what did Jesus do that they recognized him in the breaking of the bread? They said, he celebrated Mass. He celebrated the Eucharist. Third graders knew this. And they didn't know the scriptures. It was the first time they probably heard that they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. They recognized him in the breaking of the bread. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. Now they were not sad. They ran back to Jerusalem, to the community, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has been raised up indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. But not only the breaking of the bread, he shared the scriptures that referred to him. We need word and sacrament. We don't need sacrament alone. We need word and sacrament. We don't need word alone. We need word and sacrament. Oh yes, and especially the sacrament of the Eucharist. We need word and sacrament. While they were talking about this, the two men, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, Shalom, peace be with you. They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, Why are you frightened? And why do you have doubts? Why do these doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Why? He was crucified, his hands and his feet with nails. And while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, Have you anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. I tell you that when we go to heaven, if we need to eat food, if we want to eat food, we could, because Jesus ate food. He ate the fish that they had prepared. Hallelujah. I know Jesus loves you. I know that he has been raised from the dead. I know that he wants to show you that he has been raised from the dead. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. I'm telling you, it's not sacrament alone. It's word and sacrament. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Oh God, do that to us today. Open our minds so we would understand the scriptures. Hallelujah. And he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name, in the name of Jesus. Repentance and forgiveness. Oh yes, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Have you forgiven those people who have hurt you? They hurt me too much. Well, we hurt Jesus too much. We put him on the cross. He forgave us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he wants us to forgive from our hearts so that we're not bound by unforgiveness. That forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. What did he promise? The Holy Spirit. So stay here in Jerusalem, in the city, until you have been clothed with power from on high. Oh yes, how important it was for the disciples to stay in Jerusalem until they had been filled with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. I tell you, this is the early church community. What are they doing? They're blessing God. God inhabits the praises of his people. We praise you, God. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We adore you, risen Lord. We adore you, risen Lord. We love you, risen Lord. Hallelujah to the risen Lord. Hallelujah to him who died on the cross and who gave his life for us. Hallelujah, who the one that was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah to you, Jesus. You inhabit the praises of your people. We praise you, Lord. We bless you. We adore you. We glorify you. We honor you. Regina Celi, Regina Celi, Laetare, Laetare, Alleluia. Regina Celi, Regina Celi, Laetare, Laetare, Alleluia. Quia quem meruisti portare, Alleluia, Alleluia. Resurrexit, sit cum dixit, resurrexit, sit cum dixit, Alleluia, Alleluia. May the risen Lord bless you today, and may he give you what he gave the apostles, faith. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.